listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
John, today, what was his final stat line? Couldn't have been great.
No,
not have been great.
No, well, the one thing that stuck out to me was only two sacks. He dropped back like 40 times and only was sacked twice.
21 of 36, 142 yards. Well, it's crazy because it felt like he was kind of going back just waiting to be sacked at times. And I know that they've had, in week one, they had problems getting separation. That's absolutely a given. Week two, the wheels came off. Offensive line got smashed. There were problems there. And yesterday, I just thought he wasn't seeing it. I thought, and it wasn't just the Isaiah Bond play. Like, there were guys open. You had Jerry Jeudy open. You had other guys open. He just was not seeing it. He was cutting the field off of his own on himself. But when you win the game, and it just seems so silly to be results-based, but that's where you're at. You're 1-2. I can't make a change to a third-round rookie quarterback after I've won my first game of the season in week three. I think to the veterans, it would just seem nonsensical. Because you had this great... I mean, go back to the speech of what he said, the whole team thing, this, that, and the other, how the great team game, you needed everybody to win the game. And it's true. I mean, good God. At the end, like, I don't think the offense really executed whatsoever with the exception of the running game a little bit with Quinshon Judkins. I mean, you average 5 yards a carry. That's pretty good execution. Here, listen to Kevin Stefanski in the post game.
How about that team win? Yeah!
How lucky are we? How lucky are we to play the greatest team sport there is? We need the offense. We need the defense. We need the special teams, and that's what makes us a team. I told you last week there's a good team lurking here, right?
Sir.
That was a good team you just beat, okay? And we beat them because we stuck together. We stuck together like we always do.
So you can't go and turn right around and take your quarterback out once you've had that message to your team. Once you've given that message to your football team, you can't go and pull their starter. And I know that is probably going to upset a lot of people. You'll get what you want. It's a long season. And I'm happy about this win. It'll probably go the way a lot of people think it's going to go. They'll probably lose some football games here, which will make it easier to put in Dylan Gabriel. But as of this juncture, you just can't. You can't do it, Tone. Go ahead.
No, I look, we all are in agreement. The offense has been pitiful, and there might have been some opportunities yesterday, but, you know, Flacco, that thing was stuck in mud. It just was. And I don't know, in watching him play, it seems like there's like no chemistry between him and Jerry Jeudy. And that's a problem because that's your receiver that gets open. That's the one guy that can do it. And I know there was a big debate about how much he was even open last week, but there were opportunities yesterday. And I was watching. I was up there in the club section with a beautiful view. I could see some Jerry Jeudy separation.
Well, it's much different than the chemistry that he has with Tillman, even, right?
Yeah.
Him and Tillman seem to be on the same page. And he loves David Njoku. I mean, he loves going to... He said it, you know, yesterday in the post game about that last play with 12 seconds left. He knew, get it to the big body guy. The big body guy's going to be able to, you know, get through everyone and get down when he needs to.
Yeah.
You're right. The Jerry Jeudy chemistry with him and Flacco is just... I don't know what's going on with them, but it's not the same.
Now, the one thing I will say in... I don't know how much of a defense this is going to be. This was the Ravens and the Packers the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Like, if those would have been the first two games and Cincinnati was the next game, then how would we feel? Like, maybe this offense is just going to be a byproduct of who they're going up against, too.
It felt like week one against Cincinnati, that was the receiver's problem. More than it was Joe Flacco's problem. The last two weeks, it's been Joe Flacco's problem.
It has been. I'm wondering how much it has to do with who they went up against. Like, they went up against two teams that know how to get to the quarterback, know how to create issues for your offensive line, and you have issues on your offensive line.
Well, there's going to be a lot of teams that are like that.
As good as the Packers and the Ravens?
Not as good as the Packers, but now Detroit's defense hasn't been too terribly great to start this season, I got to tell you. The offense got it figured out last week. Yeah, I mean, but we'll find out a little bit more tonight. I mean, there are some opportunities there. Like, hey, I'm with you. I'm still not moving on from Joe just yet. So there will be maybe some opportunities to get the offense going a little bit. And again, with more Quinshon Judkins, there's more where, all right, you're not just a single-faceted offense where you only have to run, only have to be able to throw the football and that's it. I mean, we've done that before. He saw the field a lot better in 2023. He's just not seeing it right now. But I'm still not moving on from the guy. Todd in Akron, you're first up on the Fan. Hello, Todd.
Thank you for taking it. I love that clip you put on about Kevin Stefanski, because I'm saying this from the beginning. Why change anything? Just stick with it. Like you said, you switch off this quarterback's now, put in Dylan Gabriel, it would be a horror show. I mean, they can barely block for Flacco. Could you imagine what it looked like if they put Dylan Gabriel in there?
It's I think a lot of people wanted to put him in, Todd, just because he could get away from people last week. Like, last week it was he was running for his life, and people wanted to put in Dylan Gabriel because, well, first they thought they had a chance to win, which they didn't. Second, they thought he could run away from guys. You know, I want the offense to get a chance to be humming a little bit because, again, right now you're 1-2. So, I'm still leaving Joe Flacco in there. But I got to tell you, there's not a lot of confidence. I think I'm already week-to-week with him. And I'm week to week because of the season. I mean, you're still 1-2. At 1-3, London coming up, probably not. But, I mean, the conversation, the drum is beating here. All right, Todd, thank you very much for the call. Will in North Carolina, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, guys, I'm looking at it from Flacco's perspective. Quarterbacks don't retire well. And how would you rather go out at the end of a losing streak and be benched because the team's not doing great? Or would you rather be able to say, you know what, we just beat the Packers, a team that nobody had us winning. I'm going out on top. I think it's time for the next generation. It's a win for everybody. But and him, he gets to retire a hero, a winner, walk away with his head held high instead of having that scene of him sitting on the bench going, man, I'm done. You know what I'm saying? He can control his own destiny by saying it's time.
So you want him to bench him so he has some moment?
No, not bench him. But this could be his moment to, like, hey, I'm retiring. I'm done. I've you know what I'm saying?
If you want him to retire?
Yeah, it's time. It's time. The guy's got a great arm, but his legs, I'm 45. I look at him out there every time I see him on the field, and I'm amazed he moves like he does. But he can't run anymore. You know, I mean, it's time.
Do you have an answer for this?
I think, you know, we've made it clear. Like, I don't think this is the time to do it at all. I don't think that would make any sense.
To retire?
No, I'm saying to...
Will wants him to retire.
I know. Well, that's
Lima
wasn't
even paying attention to the call because the call was that silly.
He lost me about, 5 seconds in.
I'm sorry. 216-474-0092. Deborah in Minnesota. Hello.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
We're doing okay, Deborah. Go ahead.
I'm calling because I'm wondering how long you believe that the defense will stay motivated to have a quarterback like Flacco who's not helping at all. They're having to play really hard. They're going to keep doing that. But can you imagine if the rookies that they claim that they developed, that they claim aren't ready, but they've developed them, would come in and play even harder? They can run. They can move. They're motivated to win.
Yeah, Flacco's motivated to win.
Why isn't Flacco motivated to win?
Well, I think he's motivated to win, but he's not they're leaders. Quarterbacks are leaders, motivators, inspirers of the team. He's not that. He wants to win. He's going to get a check, but he's not there to motivate the rest of them.
The reasoning for all this, the last one should have got it, and this one's got to get it too. Owen, I mean, for the leagues. Here. I mean,
I just think if these are
the reasons for jettisoning Joe Flacco, then I'm very happy with it. I thought this was going to be a very unpopular thing to say. If these are the reasons we're getting, like, he's not motivated because he's getting paid. He's motivated because he does have to answer to teammates out there, and he does have to lead.
If you're 40 and you're coming back to play in the NFL, you're motivated.
I got one person saying he should ride off into the sunset after a week 3 win over the Green Bay Packers, which is a good team, but somehow that was going to be the end of it or that. Like, the folks who want to get rid of him, you're not making a good case. That is awful. Two ones, go ahead.
Yeah, I would also say, like, we're talking about the defense, and I'm with people on this part of it. The one thing she did say I understand is the defense eventually, like, it, man, they are playing their butts off, and the offense is doing absolutely nothing. I understand psychologically what that is, but also, what is it psychologically if you're going to a third-round quarterback?
It doesn't do much for you psychologically.
I mean, they see more than we do, and now it's the season. It's not like you have a quarterback competition anymore. But if you go to the revolving door at quarterback, like, what is that also? That's not going to inspire with the defense.
If we're talking about inspiration, I got a guy who's been in the league 18 years. He's won Super Bowls. Or he's won a Super Bowl. He's played in big moments. Is the third-round rookie going to inspire me in the month of September?
That would seem like an odd decision to make if I'm Miles Garrett in the defense.
What are we saying to each other here,
after
guys?
After a victory where Flacco did come through on that last drive. Like, we can't forget that. That was an awesome thread-the-needle throw. And then getting the guys lined up like they did.
Do me a favor.
We got to give him some credit for that, as bad as it was for 57 minutes.
You're one of the best arguers I've ever been around. All right, maybe I haven't been around enough people, but you're one of the best arguers I've ever been around. Give me a cogent argument right now why you would go to Dylan Gabriel.
It would just,
other than what we just heard, I can't do
it,
that again.
It would just be that your offense is kind of standing still with Flacco, and, you know, what's the point?
But would you do it because you have confidence in Dylan Gabriel?
No, I'm not there every day, obviously, but Gabriel's, it's not like that he's competing. It's not like he's competing. I know we talked about, hey, Shador Sanders is getting the reps at the end of practice. Are they doing those for Gabriel too? Like, why would they be doing those for Sanders and not Gabriel? Like, we didn't really talk about that. Like, Gabriel was taken, unless they thought Sanders was so far behind, but what, you know, they're both rookies.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe we should have talked about that last week. Like, should Gabriel be getting the reps at the end of practice?
Go right on ahead and do that. If you want to, we can have this kind of, because it's going to happen more and more. Guys, I think there will be a natural order of when Dylan Gabriel plays, but I don't think we can just sit here and make up reasons why Dylan Gabriel should be going in this week, because these reasons we're giving each other are just, these are terrible, bogus reasons. Retirement and inspiration and motivation. What? It's still September. They look pretty motivated to me yesterday. Now, I think that your offense could be anemic over time, and that, yeah, your defense will eventually get mad at you. I'm worried about that. And if they were to start off 0-3, yeah, because I think you got no other choice. Like, the season, the difference in the season for a lot of fans, I think a lot of fans just don't think they're going anywhere as they are. But we're in a difficult spot where now I have to have one foot in Berea, one foot with the fans. I think a lot of fans are happy they won last night, but they're not changing their expectations for the season. I think the Browns right now are driving in going, how do we get this thing going in the right direction? We already got this win. How do we go and beat Detroit next week? And then we go and we get ourselves righted out and we start to march towards the playoffs. That's the way they're thinking. Whether you want to say that they're believing in things that aren't true or not, that's what they're thinking. So they can't make a decision like that unless Joe Flacco were to be injured. They can't make a decision like that right now. So there's no good answer to it, because, yeah, it's exactly 3:37 left to go in the game yesterday. You're down 10-0. Your offense isn't doing anything. And it was your defense that brought you back into it. It was your special teams that brought you back into it. None of this argument is really based on offense other than, well, Quinshon Judkins ran the ball pretty well, so maybe I can find some balance and I can open up some lanes for Joe. That's as far as it goes. So there's no good argument other than you won, he's a veteran, it protects your veterans, it keeps them playing. If you were to make a decision like that, more than likely that backfires. More than likely. I'm like 90% sure. 216-474-0092. Terry and Akron, got to go quick, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just think, Joe, all my life I've been a Browns fan, and Joe gave us the most excitement as a Browns fan that I've seen in a big part of my life. Why not protect him better? Bring in Dylan Gabriel. Can they use both of them? Are they allowed to do that in the NFL? Can they split the...
Well, no, you've done it. I mean, great coaches have done it before. It just hasn't worked out well for them. Tom Landry tried to do it. Bill Walsh really famously tried to do it, and it didn't go well for them. Like, guys have tried to do this before.
Was there a Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith?
There might have been. I thought they just moved on to Colin Kaepernick.
No, there was an overlap there, because Alex Smith actually came in and won that NFC Championship game.
But are you giving me, Terry, are you talking about like different series, like rotating series or anything?
Yeah. Yes. Why not?
I just, the offense is there's such a lack of rhythm. I can't imagine that happen, that helping.
They're totally different guys. They're totally different guys. I think the processing is very good for Dylan Gabriel, but physically, you know, is he ready to go out there and do it just yet? Is he ready to actually go at a high level and go with the speed of an NFL football game yet? You know, the processing could be high, but is he ready for this?
Time to celebrate, Browns fans. 13-10 over the Green Bay Packers. It was 10-0. It was an ugly football game. It really was. And the last part of this football game, and we're going to relive it coming up in the noon hour, it was awful. It was awful before then. And then it was just way too much fun. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner is Andy Baskin. The defense, Andy, I don't think there's any question. Legit. It's legit. And going into the season, we thought, how can this team succeed this year? The answer was real clear. The defense had to get back to something that looked similar to what it was in 2023 when they were number one in the NFL and fewest yards allowed. This year, so far, three games, small sample size, number one in yardage allowed, least number of yards allowed. But the key to me here, they've played three pretty dang good offenses in the first 3 weeks of the season. Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, Baltimore with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, Green Bay with Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs, and they're number one in yardage allowed in the NFL through three games.
Yeah, Miles was asked about that after the game yesterday too, and he said, you know, look at the quarterbacks that you've seen through 3 weeks and look at the teams in general that you played, and do you think that you're, I think he was asked something along the lines of, do you think you're the best defense? And, you know, he said we could be kind of, you know, he gave a pretty good answer, but I don't know how you can't think that this isn't one of the best. Look what they did yesterday. They had no business winning that game, if you think about it. At the end of the day, the offensively,
you're down 10 with under 4 minutes to go, and your offense had stunk.
And if that defense is, somebody asked me, somebody who I trust who covers the Browns too, and said to me, how could, because yesterday we were pretty optimistic. We walked out of here on Friday, Dan. I said, I think the Browns are going to win like some crazy score, like 19-17 or something like that. I don't think they're going to get to 20 because they just don't. And I thought that they would win in the teens. I just didn't think it would. And I knew it would be close. I thought it might be a field goal if they could do it, all based on the defense. But I also thought the defense was going to have to score for them to win. And it was almost like, you know, Miles said after the game that, you know, he had talked to the team and the team had rallied around him, or someone asked him a question about it. And it was like, I told these guys, we are not giving up on the end of it. We can win this game. We are in it. We can go do this. Let's go do this in the second half. And the defense played to win. There's no question. It's not that the offense didn't. It's just
offense tried to.
And then the defense started getting, not snippy or snarky or whatever it was, just kind of just trying to get the ball more than they normally do. And I'm not saying that they don't try to strip the ball on every play, but it was almost like someone said to the defense, if you guys don't make a play that puts us deep in scoring position, or we don't come up with a turnover at this point, we're not going to win. And I really think that was the mindset of the defense, and that's what you need to win games if you're this team. That's what you're just going to have to do. You can't go through a season averaging 15.3 points per game. You just can't.
It's up from last year.
That's down from last year.
Wasn't it 15.2?
No, it was 16-2 last year, wasn't it? I thought it was 6. They were down. Was it 15-2?
Either way,
it doesn't matter. It's a point. Thank God for Atlanta and Houston, because they're worse than we are.
Think about this. Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, good passing attack, obviously. They held, in week one, held Burrow to 113 yards, held Ja'Marr Chase to 2 catches for 26 yards. Chase Brown, pretty good running back last year, had 21 carries for 43 yards. 2 yards per carry for the Bengals rushing game. Baltimore, big time offense. We all know that. And they scored 41 points. We all saw that. But the Browns defense held Derrick Henry to 23 yards on 11 carries. That's just over 2 yards per carry. And the Ravens as a team, good rushing team, had only 45 yards rushing, 2.1 yards per carry. And then yesterday, you roll in Josh Jacobs, who's a good running back. 1.9 yards per carry for Josh Jacobs.
And he looked good early in the game. That's the scary part.
16 carries for 30 yards. And the Packers as a team average 2.6 yards per carry. They have done a great job in three games against three very good offensive teams. And I say very good about the Bengals because Joe Burrow was back, and Joe Burrow was the man last year. So he might not have been ready to go. They might not have been ready to go, but they're a big-time offense. And this defense has shut down three big-time offenses, Andy. That's impressive. And if you look at what's coming, you got a big-time offense in Detroit. You got a big-time wide receiver in Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. This defense is going to have to play well for this team to win games, because unless something drastic happens, it's hard to imagine the offense going from near the bottom to near the top.
Judkins definitely was a shot of confidence for the team yesterday. You know, do you have a guy that can rush for 100 yards? So he came close yesterday.
Yeah, you do now. Yeah. You want to give him the ball.
You just got to keep giving. I'm hung up on the play to Njoku at the end. Because I got to tell you, we sit here and we rip Kevin Stefanski. We don't. We look at it analytically. But I listen to fans rip him the time.
Do we?
I don't know.
Are we analytic dudes?
I wouldn't say we're analytic. No, I wouldn't. But I think we look at it from a news perspective more than we do. You know what I'm saying? Like a fair.
I'd give you that.
Like fair. I think we try to be fair. When somebody makes a mistake and it doesn't work, you can always look at statistics, or you can look at it was just a bad play. I mean, and it happens sometimes. But that call to Njoku yesterday in the fourth quarter to get the ball up to kick that game-winning field goal with less than 17.
Andy, that was a big boy call.
I mean, the words I want to use, I can't use because no, I would have been in a locker room. I would say
I said big boy. You can use another word instead of boy.
Yeah, and he just the fact that he trusted his team to be able to run a play with that little time, with
gain
no
yardage.
Timeouts.
Gain yardage.
Throw the ball down the middle of the field, which I if I'm Green Bay, I would have been shocked. I would have been like, what are they doing? Because I was sitting next to Darrell. I'm like, what are we doing? This is insane. But
would have been about a 63-yard field goal attempt to win it.
If they hadn't made the pass.
Which used to be the NFL record, you know, forever and ever with Tom Dempsey.
I just thought that call was super, you know what-y. And so
big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The harder part was the execution of how quick those guys got to the line and
were able to down it. There were 12 seconds on the clock when they ran that play.
So for
I
them
mean,
to
come on, man.
But the variable is the referee in that situation. Like they could have all been at the line and it would have been absolutely perfect. And if the referee doesn't touch the ball, then the ball's not in play yet to play. The clock runs, but it's not technically, you can't make a play. And I don't know if they alerted the referees before the game and said, hey, if this gets close at the end, we want to let you know that we are going to be set as quick as you possibly can, and that we would hope that the referees would move at lightning speed to make sure that we were able to make the play. And we got lucky. I mean, we had a referee that was on it, touched the ball, and they had the opportunity to spike the ball at the end. Otherwise, we all would have been sitting here going, I can't believe they tried to run a play. Who tries to run a play? And Kevin broke it down in the postgame show or in his postgame press conference yesterday. He talked about it, and he said they just keep working on that play over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And we were the recipients of good news yesterday on that play. That was amazing.
The cool part about that too, Andy. Yeah, you converted the play to Njoku. You gained, what was it, 8 yards? That was terrific. You get that done, and it just shows the rehearsal involved in the practice time, because they immediately knew what to do. That's a tough play to make sure all your guys are lined up and set. Before you spike that ball, everybody was lined up. They were set. They got it done. And the ending of the game to me was a reward for the defense.
It was.
For doing an incredible job all game. They got to Jordan Love 5 different times. There were 5 sacks. And the thing that I think we're going to like about this football team, and we're seeing it now, and I would think Myles Garrett really likes it, he's not the only one getting to the quarterback.
No.
They had 5 sacks yesterday. Swessinger had 1. By the way, Swessinger looks like the real deal. Miles had 0.5 sack. Malik Collins had 1.5 sacks. Aiden Huntington involved in a sack. He had 0.5 sack. So did Mason Graham. Alex Wright had 1 sack. So you got a lot of different guys who are putting pressure on the quarterback. The line's doing its job. We thought the line was going to be the key to this defense. The line has been the key to this defense so far.
Yeah.
I think they've been outstanding. And that's allowed Schlesinger to do some things. And with Schlesinger doing some things, then you're getting some activity out of the linebacker spot. And we weren't sure that was going to happen with JOK. And with JOK out, you thought, all right, can this? Well, Schlesinger has stepped in.
Then you get a guy retires right at the beginning of camp. Oh, man.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
No.
And so that's worked out. And then the defensive backs have been pretty good. You know, they've had some moments that weren't. Cam Mitchell obviously had some big problems against Baltimore. He was inactive yesterday.
Denzel had a Superman play yesterday.
Yeah.
The play where he was flying, it was a sideline play. I can't remember what quarter it was, where he was able to knock the ball down as it was just about to be caught. And I was like, wow, now you see it. Now you get it, especially when it's in isolation like that. And you're like, I can't believe he was able to get to that ball and knock it away before he had a chance to catch it. So man, everything they say, like, we were talking about this in pregame yesterday. You know, when Denzel Ward's in, you know, there things don't happen because they don't want to throw to his side. And so you wonder, because Tyvus and I were talking about this yesterday in the pregame show, like, what is the difference between the Browns with Denzel in and with Denzel not in? Because unless you're watching the secondary, you know, on a play, which I don't think most people are following the ball. And if you're not following what's going on in the defensive backfield, you may not catch all the things he does or does not do throughout a game. And that play he made yesterday was just unbelievable, too. I mean, there were just so many great plays in that game defensively to set you up for the offense at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you wonder, you hear people say, okay, this guy's great. This guy's a Pro Bowler. This guy does this. He does this. He does this. But if you're not watching the nuances of the game, you may not see that or know that or anticipate to watch when something else is happening. And, you know, it's just one of those games yesterday, the difference between having him in the game and then not having him in the game. And, you know, Geno yesterday, too, same thing. I don't know if Tyvus calls him Geno all the time.
Geno?
Geno. Greg Newsom.
You guys are tight, huh?
No, he calls him Geno, and I'm like, you know what? That's not a bad nickname. Nice. So, you know, both those guys, I mean, they're a big part of the reason why, you know, we're not sitting here talking about 0-3. I mean, that's the obit to a season, 0-3. It really is.
2018, last time a team that went 0-3 made the
play. Yeah, Houston. So you got one team in this century that's done it. Six teams in the history of the league. So that's, I'm so glad. I mean, even just to have one win, the season, you know, it's not, you didn't, that whole narrative didn't change. I know people want to press the quarterback part of this thing, but the narrative towards winning and trying to have a successful season are still available to you at, you know, at 1-2. 0-3, they're just not. History will tell you they are not.
So the defense has been top-notch. Folks, we all watched the offense yesterday. The offense, I'm not going to say gets a pass because they won the game, because you can't let the offense get a pass. What's going on there? What do you think about it? What can they do?
The show is back. The only show that had the Stones in Cleveland to guarantee a win against Green Bay. And by the way, not one guarantee. No. I made two guarantees on Friday, and the Cleveland Browns fulfilled the prophecy. This is Afternoon Drive. Nick Wilson with you. We want to say a big thanks to Meredith Kane on the board.
Yes.
Also helping out with the university hospitals. Browns Radio Network open there. I want to say big thanks to Jake Byrne, who's on the show today. Behind the glassy knoll doing the Lord's work. We got the milkman on the 2020s, Anthony Allant. And across from me, who will help me take this victory lap today as far as we can run it, which ain't far. Jake Volnick, what's up, buddy?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. I was not on the show last week. I mean, I was for updates at one point, but did not have the guarantee.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
not
listen,
gonna be mad about it.
Listen, some people have the touch. Okay. Some people are gifted with the, you know, whether it's the third eye or the ability to see beyond, like whatever it is. Like some people just have the touch. I'm like John Edwards, the media, not the politician. I'm like that John Edwards. And I saw the future. I saw a Browns win so clearly that I guaranteed it. And let me just tell you, until about 4 minutes left in that Browns game, this was going to be the Cleveland Guardians in the first three segments of this show, because I was not going to be talking about that game with the way you were losing, with 4 minutes to go in regulation. I was not going to do that to the Cleveland fan, because quite frankly, you deserve to talk about winners on Monday. And quite frankly, the Guardians, I know they lost yesterday, but the Guardians have lived up to the winning mantra and get shafted on Mondays like this. And I'm not kidding. There's 4 minutes on the big TV. I'm watching the Guardians game on my phone. And within maybe 1 minute of real life time, I see the home run that puts the Twins ahead, and then I see the big play by Grant Delpit, and I'm like, did everybody else just feel the way the world turned in about 3 seconds in Cleveland sports?
Yeah, I was sitting there for about 56 minutes of Browns in-game action, thinking back multiple times to your guarantee, mother bleeping you up and down, being like, why would you go? Like, now we have to deal with this. And I don't personally have to, but I now have to deal with it on a Monday of going through and listening to Nick be like, oh, I guarantee to win, and I was going to have to make fun of you for 5 hours worth of a show. And luckily, I didn't have to do that.
And the Lord stepped in and said, no, the kid was right. And the kid being me in this case, the 40-year-old kid was right.
I mean, they got away playing four. It was the greatest 4 minutes of the Brown season so far. They got away with playing 4 minutes of football on the offensive side, at least.
I do love how everyone, like, the rush for the media is now, it's not sustainable the way they, yeah, no crap. That was like teams, I can't, I'm going to butcher the stat off the top of my head, but teams trailing with 4 minutes to go in the way the Browns are trailing since 2000, we're 5-223. And the Browns just got the sixth win in that time. I can always judge how a game is going and how much I'm enjoying a game. And by enjoying, I do mean I'm a nervous wreck and I'm a shell of a human being, by how much my dog Mongo sits around me. And can I just tell you, that dog multiple times came over. And at one point, he was just like, I'm just going to sit here, because it seems like every time I leave, he just has another mental breakdown and another crash out. And when Andre Schmidt, who's now the chosen one, just so we know, all right, until you miss a kick, you are the chosen one, Andre Schmidt. When he kicked that, and by the way, any human being today saying, I knew it was going in, they're either lying or pandering. Because while I was doing that, I was like, okay, if he misses this and we go to, I'm like, okay, now I got to deal with this whole thing in overtime. And I was like, none of these offenses are going to score. This is going to be a tie. And I was like, I mean, can he just make this kick? No one knew he was going to make the kick. That's what makes the story so awesome. Like, that's what kills me about the, oh, I knew he was going to make it. You didn't know crap. I've watched so much Browns football. Every Cleveland Browns fan on the continent knew he was going to miss that kick, except Andre Schmidt and the good Lord himself. And anyone telling you otherwise is lying or pandering.
I was sitting there watching with my girlfriend. She doesn't love football, obviously, the same way that I love football, but she understands it. And she's sitting there and she's like, so what happens if he misses this? And I'm like,
why would you say that?
One, don't talk to me in this moment. This is a moment of silence right now. Two, we lose. The answer is we lose. And I go, not actually, but like, there's no way we win this game if he doesn't hit this kick. So the kick is going through. I'm willing it through right now. It's going through. And I'm with you. I had no belief it was actually going to go through the uprights.
So we also live in a split household where I'm outnumbered by women who go, football again? And so Vanessa, occasionally during football games, so she's learned, stay away from Nick on Sundays, because I am a stark raving lunatic. No matter that I have had a very realistic prediction of the Browns season, and I've said the most competitive 4-13 team on the planet, none of that. During the game, I don't want anything but the Browns to win. And so the idea that they don't, and when it really looks bad, the way I can be a real, like, don't look at me, don't talk to me, don't think about me, like, just give me space. And so Vanessa plans her Sundays to, like, oh, we got to go do this for Olivia's birthday. And we got to go do, we had a Sam's Club run with about 6 minutes in this game. So you'd already gotten your 3 points. With about 6 minutes to go in the game, she goes, hey, can you help unload the truck when there's a timeout? And I, like, my eye started twitching. And then, so I did, I was a team player, and I was sitting there, and she started asking me just about, like, okay, and this happens when this happens. And I was like, can you ask me literally any other time? And so by the time Andre Schmidt makes the game-winning field goal, the walk-off field goal, she's almost asleep on the couch. And I, when I say that I lost my ever-loving mind, it's probably not It probably doesn't do enough to the spectacle of a 6'4", 350-pound man jumping out of his chair and screaming obscenities, to which Vanessa about had a heart attack because she was peacefully, I mean, that like twilight right before you hit sleep where you're like with the good Lord and you're calm and you're transitioning to sleep, only to hear, yeah, with many, can I just say it, many expletives. Like yesterday, okay, I get it. There aren't a lot of reasons in my modern life, in my adult life, to be a Browns fan. That game is the Browns drug that keeps you holding on for the next one. Because you're like, well, they can do it. They've shown me they can do it. No matter if they can do it, it's 5 years in the rear view. You remember games like that because you're like, yes, this is why we football. And by the way, it's a great football game. It was a great football Sunday just in general with, yep, the amount of last second, holy crap moments. Baker and the Bucks had like four in the Jets game as well.
Yeah, I mean, that game was absurd. I mean, we had
all of them were. Kick.
Yeah, the Eagles had Jalen Carter outsprinting the entire kick team for the Rams. It's like, that kid can move. That kid is moving insanely, much faster than he should be at his size. And yeah, the Jets won.
19 miles an hour. They clocked Jordan Davis.
That should not happen.
No.
Not a guy at that size. You should never move. I mean, 19 miles an hour. That's a freight train.
I watched a kid play on Friday that was about 350. We were guessing, and he's a big kid. He's a really fun kid to watch. In the Twinsburg O-line in general, was really fun to watch on Friday. But I saw him. He was banged up. And to get into his stance, he did the chicken dance. He went down the escalator to get down in his stance. And that was the first thing I thought of with Jordan Davis, who's the same weight, going 19 miles an hour, trucking it down the field. And that's the only gripe that I have to this point, is that because there were so many last-second finishes, and there were so many that the Browns, I watched multiple editions of SportsCenter today as I was getting work done for the day. And the earliest I saw it in the episode was 20 minutes in. Mm. And that's simply because everybody had one of those games yesterday, and the Browns game beyond those 4 minutes was caca.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I was sitting there, and I feel like very quickly as we recount this game, everybody's like, wow, an amazing, great 4 minutes of football. There was a time within those 4 minutes where I was sitting there going, the Browns just got screwed completely out of this game. Like, they have been taken out of the game. When I'm watching a clear fumble by Josh Jacobs be clearly recovered by Devin Bush, and they're like, play stands, fumble never happened. It's like, I can't even begin to describe how play stands is not a correct description of what I just watched, because the ball is clearly out, and the guy's practically still on his own 2 feet.
The thing that I think TikTok has captured, but that regular, like the element of the TV side of things is not captured, is the where like you're going through so many different emotions within like 5 seconds, and then inevitably it's a, oh man, there were seven of those.
Yep.
That didn't go the Browns' way in the final or in the fourth quarter, but they had just enough of them going, and that was a good, I'll just say this. I don't give a rip if it was something you can sustain. I don't give a rip how repeatable that is. For one Sunday, we got to feel what that win felt like. And we have been on the opposite side of that kind of loss so many times. I know we've got a lot to get into today. I know we have a lot, but can we just say one more time how stinking fun that was yesterday? For those 4 minutes, and then like the 4 hours after, because I still hadn't come down, that I had to take another walk after like, it was like 7 o'clock at night, and I just woke up jazzed up, because of course I fell asleep on the couch because I crashed, and I was like, I think I gotta go for a walk because I gotta get all this energy out. That was a fun day to be a Browns fan, and we don't get to say that enough.
Honestly, that game doesn't feel the same way, by the way. If you get away with that win, it's against the Miami Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
Like, it had to be against the Packers
or the Ravens, yeah, or the Lions, like 100%. It had to be that, the team that most people, not Nick Wilson, most people wouldn't even think they were going to be competitive in, let alone guarantee not one, but have two win guarantees.